Pittsburgh section of the National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, and my name is Harold Kimmel, and my partner's name is Judy Rubenstein, and it's Friday, January 3rd, 1992, and we are interviewing attorney George P. Schlesinger at his office in the downtown of Pittsburgh in 1 Oxford Center, room 3500 on the 35th floor. Now, Mr. Schlesinger, would you kindly give us your name and complete address and your age?
My name is George P. Schlesinger. I live at 128 North Craig Street, Pittsburgh, PA, at the Park Plaza, and I'm 84 years of age.
Yeah. Now, we're going to talk about your immediate family. I'd like you to say something about your father, mother, and the siblings, and the history of your family.
Give me that sheet.
Yes. Yes. Where did you start, all of you?
I was born in Windber, Pennsylvania, on August 27, 1907. I'm the son of Isaac and Sally, S-A-L-L-I-E, Zimmerman Schlesinger.
And where did you say?
At Woodburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. Right here in this country.
Well, that's in this country.
Yeah. And would you mention something about your father and mother?
My father, when he came to Windber, the town that I was born in, he came there in 1900. Mm-hmm. My father and mother were married in 1900, and my father was a reverend, and when he came to Windber, he was engaged in teaching the Jewish children to daven, etc. Mm-hmm. And he also was a sheikhet at that time.
Uh-huh.
But he quit that business and went into the meat business.
I see.
My father was a successful operator, and we eventually moved to Pittsburgh when I graduated law school, which was in 1929.
Very good. Well, you have your dates in order. And how many children? Do you have brothers and sisters?
I'm one of five. I am the middle of the family with a brother and sister, older, and a brother and sister younger.
Mm-hmm.
One of my brothers was a doctor who was older than I, and he died at the age of 48. My sisters are living, and my other brother is living. My one brother that's living is a professor at the University of Pittsburgh. He's an economist. And my sister is married to a lawyer by the name of Harry Rosen, one of them. And the other one is a widow that lives in the East.
What is your sister's name?
The older sister's name is Rose Rudick, R-U-D-I-C-K, and the one here in town is Ethel Rosen, R-O-S-E-N. My brother's name is Reuben.
Mm-hmm. Is the Rosen any relative to Ben Rosen?
Brothers.
Oh, really? Yes. Well, he's an attorney, too. All right. Now, would you like to say something about your home atmosphere and the religious aspect of it and cultural and economic backgrounds and discipline?
When we lived in Windber, mm-hmm. we had a very religious home because my father was a very religious man. And when we moved to Pittsburgh, he was a young man. And actually, while he was in Pittsburgh, he used to daven shachris at Beth Sholem Synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
So he was recognized as having ability, and he died at the age of 70 as a result of an operation that he had when he was operated in Philadelphia. He bled to death. And he was operated on by the same doctor that operated on the President of the United States.
Really? What can you remember brought you, your family, to Pittsburgh?
What brought them to Pittsburgh, when my father went into the wholesale meat business, he used to come to Pittsburgh and buy cattle at the yards, and they would be shipped to Winburn. And then he had a brother here, and he started buying property here. And he decided that Winburn, being a small town, that he was going to retire. But he was a very young man when we moved, and he couldn't stand retirement, so he went back and forth a little bit back to Winburn, but later on he retired. When we came to Pittsburgh, we moved to 5419 Northumberland Street. That's where my father bought the home, at 5419 Northumberland Street. It was in 1929. I got married. You want me?
Yes.
I got married in 1937. I married a very darling girl by the name of Violet Ziff. And we moved into a duplex that my father owned on Northumberland Street, lived there until the Second World War. And in the Second World War, I was drafted at the age of 36.
Wow. And you were married?
Married.
And you were still drafted?
Drafted at the age of 36.
And you had children?
No.
Oh.
There was shortage of, in the 14th Ward, there was a shortage of draftees.
I see.
So in 1943, I was drafted and had basic training in Texas. My wife came down there during that time, and then where she met General Arnold's wife, who was very close with her and took care of her, Hap Arnold.
Yeah.
And then I was in the basic training for about 6 months, and I was sent overseas.
To Europe.
To Europe.
Uh-huh.
And I was in the Army from August of 1943 till September of 45. We landed in Wales, and then we went over to England, and we came over from England to on D plus 25, the only night that the channel wasn't attacked.
Wow.
I at that time was the company clerk that I rode into the port. Off of the command car, I didn't have to walk in. And then we were in France, and in France, we had our outfit was a military police outfit, and I became provost marshal.
Wow.
Provost sergeant, rather.
Uh-huh.
And I was also company clerk. And we used to, our soldiers used to do town patrol and guard duty and all that kind of different things. And I created a new idea as to how to use guards on guard duty because we were getting soldiers from the front lines, and they would work and they would go on sick call. And I changed the pattern, and my company commander would go to headquarters with my ideas, and they would say to him, "Who did this, your lawyer?" And he said, "Well, they tell him, you go back and tell him that this is in violation of the War Department rules." So I says, "Captain, you go back and explain to him that they are violating the rules because they are putting a man on from Class A duty to Class A duty day to day, and you can't do that." They adopted my revision of how to work on guard duty.
Wow.
They used to work 2 hours, off 4 hours, and never get any rest. I had them working 3 hours and give them a 6 hour. And that was adopted in our command.
Pretty good. But
regardless of the War Department rules.
Yeah, that speaks well.
Then we went into Germany and we were occupation troops. We were coming back to go to the theater, in the Japanese theater, and while on the high seas, the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima.
Really?
So instead of reassembling to go overseas, we went to separation centers.
How about that? So you must really feel that that was the right thing to do, to drop that bomb to bring the war to an end, right? Yes, that's good to hear.
It helped me.
It sure did. Well, it helped thousands of others, too. Now, then you returned to civilian life.
That's right.
In what year? 19?
That would be in 1945.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, let me tell you, you're to be complimented. Most people we interview can't remember the dates, and you are in your 80s, and you think clearly.
Well, I'm a lawyer every day.
Yeah,
That's super. Can we go back a little bit to your home life and the family atmosphere to try to understand how it was that so many of you went into professions and so forth, and the religious life. You did mention that your father was a chakra, but could you elaborate a bit on your home life, please?
Yes, we had a very pleasant home life. My father was a very shy individual. My mother was more forward, but there was never a hand raised. No one ever was beaten or anything like that. It was pleasant, a very pleasant life. And we had the town of Winbur was a nice community.
Did you go to school at that time in Winbur?
I went to school in Winbur.
And how
was
it?
I only lived in Winbur and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And Winbur had it was a town of about 10,000 population. And it had a very, very good schools. And I, in my class in graduation from high school, there were probably over 90 students. And and I graduated as valedictorian of my class at the age of 14.
Tell me, how was it? Was there any anti-Semitism in that town?
There was a little bit of anti-Semitism, but they knew my father well. The Ku Klux Klan started, but we never had any problems. And my father was known very well and respected. And we were never bothered by any of the... Matter of fact, the priests all admired my father, and they were... Yeah. It was a small town.
Yeah.
10,000 population. The town was 2 miles long.
Many Jews lived there beside you?
There were about 20 Jewish families. There would have been even more, but it was a company town. It was run by the Berwyn White Coal Mining Company. And the name Winbur came from Berwyn, Winbur. And they had company stores. And as a result, there were less Jewish merchants, but there were about a dozen Jewish merchants there.
Mm-hmm. And did you have your own synagogue there?
We had, we didn't have a synagogue, but we had, for a while, they would meet at our home.
I see.
And then for the holidays, they would meet in a hall. Mm-hmm. And later on, even with a small number of Jewish families, there was a little split where there were two groups mm-hmm. in a small area.
As usual.
And my father was written up in the book of written by Judge, I mean by Rabbi he's from the Peaceport.
Rabbi Winograd.
Winograd.
Yes.
Ah, see that?
He wrote a book, The Horse Died in Winburg. Yeah.
I was going to ask you about that. I have the book.
So The Horse Ride in
Winburg.
Wow. And my father is written up in the book in many places.
Uh-huh.
There was a drive of the B'nai B'rith in 1903 or so, and it showed that he gave $3. And then and later on, when the schism arose, there weren't enough Jewish people for my father's group to have services, so he would get bachelors from the area, put them up in a hotel, feed them. Wow. And one of these bachelors was interviewed, and he said in the interview, that my father was a renegade.
Well,
because he did this.
Really? Were they divided because of Orthodox and Reform? What made the separation?
What occurred when my father quit teaching the children and so forth, they brought in a new person.
I see.
And somehow or other, I don't really know exactly what created this. But the situation did, and later on it disappeared.
I see.
It was for a short time.
And when you came to Pittsburgh, you joined Beth Shalom, did you say?
When we first came to Pittsburgh, my father davened at a very religious place on Beacon Street, right near Murray, and he davened Musha for them there. And then my mother preferred to go. She didn't like the going upstairs in her house. And then they joined the Beth Shalom.
Right. Was Beth Shalom still in the same place
as it is
today? Beacon and Shady.
That's right.
Avenues.
Sure.
Wow, that goes back a long time.
They were there before. Of course, they built an extension on later on. See, actually, when I came to Pittsburgh in 1929, mm-hmm. I used to go to the Tree of Life, right, which at that time was on Craft Avenue.
Craft Avenue, that's right.
And I started going there just about the time that Rabbi Halpern came.
Uh-huh.
He was a single man, and I lived on Coulthard Street at that time.
Good. Well, we covered that pretty well.
I wanted to ask about the education. First, where you went to college and how your father was able to send so many of you.
Well, we all went to college. My oldest sister went to the University of Pittsburgh, and she was a school teacher and later went into social service work. My older brother went to University of Pittsburgh and graduated from their School of Medicine. I went to the University of Pittsburgh and graduated from its law school in 1929. My younger sister went to the University of Pittsburgh And when she graduated, she did social service work.
Mm-hmm.
My younger brother went to the University of Pittsburgh, and then he went to Michigan for a year, and then he went to Harvard, because he has a master's and a PhD, and he's an economist, mm-hmm. and was taught at the University of Pittsburgh for over 40 years.
Wow. Can you remember, just by comparison, what the tuition was in those days?
When I started college, the tuition was $150
wow.
a semester.
Shows you what inflation
My
does.
My father was a successful businessman
mm-hmm.
because he did well, and he bought real estate in Pittsburgh
mm-hmm.
while we were still living in Windburg.
Because wow.
when we moved from Windburg to Pittsburgh, he owned quite a bit of property on Hobart Street, Northumberland
mm-hmm.
Street, and out in Deary Street, and on the old days on Wiley Avenue.
How about that? But $150 in those days, would you say, is equal to what today?
Well,
in terms of what it could buy?
Well, I would say that even when I graduated law school, you could get a lunch for 35 cents, a complete lunch.
Mm-hmm.
At the BG, there was a BG then in those
yeah.
days. And so you figure out today it's 30 times or 40, as much. So
easy.
40
yeah.
times. See, so you take $150
times 40.
About $4,500.
Right.
$1,000.
Right. Yes. And you've watched money become buy less and less, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes.
Till today. Well, the next question has to do with life in the city versus life in Windburg, the contrast culturally, politically, and so forth.
Well, Windburg, life in Windburg was a very quiet life
mm-hmm.
because, as I told you, there weren't, you know, persons of my age, there weren't many. Of course, we could go to Johnstown, which was a big city.
Yeah.
Johnstown was only 10 miles away from Windburg.
I see.
So a lot of us would have friends at Johnstown.
Yeah.
And your life in Pittsburgh was different because here you had a broader field of places where you could go and things that you could do. Because
mm-hmm.
when we moved to Pittsburgh in 29, that's when I started to practice law.
Uh-huh. How was it politically? But you weren't involved, or your family was, or were they?
In Windburg, there weren't any political problems.
Uh-huh.
See, it was run very smoothly under the control of the Berman White Coal Company.
I see.
They had the control of the people that worked there, and in those days, I would say it was a Republican town.
Mm-hmm. They weren't for Roosevelt too much.
Well, don't forget, this was not Roosevelt's era.
That's right. That's right. Who was the president?
1929. We'll have to look it up.
Yeah. Okay.
Before Hitler.
Yes.
Oh,
we're
what
down
was the
to
name
school
of the coal
days.
Company?
Berwind, B-E-R-W-I-N-D. And White, W-H-I-T-E. Now they had a town in West Virginia that they called Berwind, West Virginia. And
mm-hmm.
this town they made it Windburg.
They turned it around, yeah. Now, do you recall your school days? Anything you can tell us about your friends, teachers, classroom, discipline, and the subjects?
Well, as I said, I never was in grade school. I remember going to first grade at the age of five, and they taught us, but I learned a little faster than most of the students. And when I went to the second grade, at the middle of the grade, they felt that I was smart enough to go to the third grade. So mm-hmm. after a half year, I went to the third grade. I was a good student.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth grade, fifth grade, and came to sixth grade. They moved me over to the, skipped the sixth grade,
mm-hmm.
and there were six of us were put in a class known as 7C.
Mm-hmm.
And if you made it, you would go to the eighth grade the next year.
Wow. Pretty good. So you skipped. I don't think schools have that anymore. Do you skip anymore?
Not
I doubt
much.
It. Those were the old days.
They wanted to get rid of you fast.
All right, next. How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community now?
Well, I feel its Jewish life now is very, it could sometimes be better, but I think it's, under all considerations, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are more problems arise due to the fact of the fact that there are more intermarriages. There are
That's
more
true.
Marriages where they don't believe in anything, and this is a big, and it comes more and more as time goes along.
Do you think the future will be more, what are they, assimilation?
I think it will be more assimilation.
Yes. And how do you view, what page are we on?
Second.
How did I skip around that?
Right, second.
Page 2. I'm on page 10. How did I jump up to page 10? Here we are. Okay. School days, we did that. Health and medical care. Would you like to tell us how your health is
okay.
in this century?
Well, my health has been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
My major problems have been with my eyes, and I've had glaucoma surgery, and I've had cataract removed and implants, and I've had very excellent results from the surgical work that I had on my eyes by
mm-hmm.
my doctor, who's a glaucoma specialist, the finest that you can get. As a matter of fact, I keep kidding him that we should write up this one eye, because although I have glasses here, after having operations on the eyes, I can sit here and read that out there as clear as
Super.
Anything.
Wow, amazing. That's amazing.
Both eyes.
Well, this is the best, but the two together, well, I have no problem reading that.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that I need glasses for is for distance, real distance, but I do not drive at night because of a condition on this one eye which creates a circle in the light.
Mm-hmm. What do you have to say about Montefiore Hospital since it's been taken over by Pitt University?
Well, of course, I don't have too much to say about it because I don't know too much about the Bonnefure Hospital setup, but I do know this, that my eye surgeon will
mm-hmm.
be working in the Bonnefure Hospital because they moved the Bonnefure Hospital for operations now is where eye surgery is going to be. It's not going to be at the old iron here.
I see.
And don't express too much of an opinion. I understand that as a result of what happened with Montefiore, the home, the Jewish home, got a very large endowment.
From Pitt?
Large
endowment. No, from the endowment. Oh. From Montefiore.
From Montefiore. I see.
Matter of fact, it's several million.
Well, that's good.
So I can't say that was bad.
No. Next question is about your adolescent years, about fun and recreation. Did you travel or do anything like that?
Well, during my early years, I mm-hmm. didn't do much traveling. Before I started grade school, my mother took me on a trip. We went to Aliquippa.
Wow.
That's where my uncle lived, and I remember coming back, watching along the river, watching the sailboats. I was 4 years of age.
Wow.
At when?
I was 4 years of age at that time.
And that was by horse and buggy.
No, we went by train.
Well.
We went by train.
I see.
But when we lived in Wittenberg, I didn't do much traveling.
Mm-hmm.
But I got married, we did a lot of traveling. Because I was involved in this law fraternity, and I was the supreme chancellor of that mm-hmm. fraternity in about 1938.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I would go to all their conventions all over the country.
All over the
U.S.
What
was the name of it?
TAW.